Good evening. I'm John Sestina. Welcome to Managing to Be Wealthy. With me tonight, Craig Konstantinovich, Tony Payne, both certified financial planners. Good evening, guys.
Evening, John. How are we doing today?
Are you on, Tony?
Yes, sir. Great to be here with you.
I'm going to be out in your territory in December.
Oh, no. I got to run the other way.
You better. I'm coming out there, brother. I came out one time and checked on you. Come on.
Oh, it was a good time. Good.
It was a good time. You're a good man. So, guys, lots going on again, but you know, we've got to wait and see pretty much what's going to happen. I mean,
exactly.
There's rumors that Yeltsin's going to raise the interest rate.
Yeah, Yellen will raise the interest rate again. Yep. That's what there's
and
commotion
so
about.
We'll see what that does. That does mean that the economy is getting stronger, in their opinion. And so that's probably a good sign.
Yep.
I mean, we've seen jobs reports. We've seen so many things that are the stock market, forget about it.
Right.
That it looks like the economy is turning. And that's, in my opinion, because of getting rid of so many of those regulations. That's the main thing. And then the other thing, of course, is the anticipation of a tax deal.
Right. Now that, who knows if that'll be done in time for this year or not.
Well, that's Tony. You know, Tony is slowing him down out there. Aren't you, Tony?
Grease. The grease here, John. I'm trying to speed him up.
I see. I can.
Let's simplify. But you're exactly right. Remember the days when they would talk about a rate hike and immediately the stock market would have this reaction and all this red? Remember those days?
I remember those days.
We went through this last week just talking about it, knowing rates were increasing, and stock market kept chugging along. So these are interesting times.
Very interesting times. And indeed, if they get that tax package, if it's a decent tax package, they don't strip down all the things that they've been talking about. I know you guys went through the proposal either last year or time before. But the you know, as it stands, it's a pretty good deal.
Right.
It's a pretty good deal for all involved. The one thing that upsets me is whenever they're trying to play with it again.
Yeah.
And that's the big problem, is they are machinating this and that and the other thing. That's when they get into problems. You make special deals for this group. You worry about that group. You try to compromise with this person. And the people you're really dealing with, that you're compromising with, are the other politicians, not the people of the United States. So for simplification, my plan, again,
yep,
is a national retail sales tax, and you won't even need a postcard, Craig.
That would be fantastic.
Tony would hate it, but the rest of the world would probably like it.
You're right, John. You're right. Exactly. You think about what you're describing. If you want to tax the, quote, rich, or that upper 1%, to throw that on everything that is bought versus all the deductions and all the kind of games that can be played with an army of accountants. But when they go to buy that jet, they pay that sales tax, and it's just done. That's a whole different – that's a lot of income.
Right, and Bentleys are pretty expensive too, as I understand it.
Oh, yeah.
They're probably buying one or two of those and rollers and so many other things out there. So they would collect plenty of taxes from those folks. And the rest of the normal population would be buying what it had to buy, and its sales tax would be less. And, of course, I would think there would probably be an exclusion for food items.
Right.
You want to protect that because you shouldn't be taxing people on food, even though it's my understanding some states do tax people on their food when they buy it. I don't think that's a good idea. But a national retail sales tax, number one, you get rid of the IRS.
Ooh.
Ooh, wouldn't that be fun?
You're going to get a knock on your door.
No, you don't understand, Tony. I'm already under audit for 2 years now.
Okay. Well, you already got the knock.
They love me. They love me.
Two years ago.
So you could get rid of the IRS, and then you could, because the other stations are already in place. I mean,
yep,
the sales tax agencies are already in place. So there would be no extra cost there, no extra administration or anything of that sort. Just be collecting the money, sending the share. It's shared to the Fed and shared to the state.
Yeah. A lot of accountants probably wouldn't be too happy about it either, but, you know, that's all right. We'll work around that when the time comes.
Well, accountants do so much more than just taxes.
Exactly.
I mean, I understand they do a big deal of tax planning, but, you know, there's so much more to business accounting than just taxes. That's why there are comptrollers and CPAs,
yep,
and you know, bookkeepers and all the other folks out there. So if they want to simplify and get the politics out of the way, that's my solution. We'll see if before I die they get something like that done.
That would mean that Congress would have to actually get along and have the, you know, the wherewithal to actually get something through, which as we've seen here, has just kind of been piddling around or, you know, kicking the can down the road. So.
Right. Well, we'll see what happens. Who is it? Bannon is out there attacking the establishment, and we'll see what good or bad that is and see what that does to whatever it's going to do. But it is true. You know, I'm a big proponent of time limits, or what do you call them, term limits, mm-hmm. because I think that these guys, you think about it, how long has McCain been in office? 300 years? I mean, ever since he landed from the moonshot or whatever. No, he was when he came back from Vietnam in 65 or so. I mean, he's been in senator ever since then, or McConnell. How long has he been there? You get going down the or the New York guy, what's his name, Schumer. How long have they been there? And what happens is they build their own fiefdoms, and they lose touch with what the people. They're all about keeping their own posts and not so much dealing with what's important to the people. So we hope that they shape up.
Yep.
We hope that there are some statesmen out there and things do change. See what happens. But whatever it is, you'll still need to do good planning, as we're going to discuss when we talk about a famous guy's estate situation, mm-hmm. which has nothing to do with taxes.
Exactly.
But we want to go through that because it has a lot to do with planning per se.
Yep.
So all of you out there, be involved in whatever you think is important for the political side. We're not going to talk about that, but you deal with the taxes, you deal with whatever is important to you. We're going to deal with no matter what the cards. It's kind of like financial planning is kind of like playing cards. You know, there's a dealer and you get a hand,
yep.
and you have to play the hand you're dealt. And then the cards are shuffled and there's another. And so you have to be responsive to that. That's part of the reason why financial planning is a lifelong endeavor.
Exactly.
It's not something that ends. I'm working on a little presentation that's trying to explain the fact that this is not, you don't set a goal. I'm going to retire at 65 and I need $5,000 a month. That's not the end.
Right.
And the goal per se, that kind of a goal, is not financial planning. That's a target. That's a piece of what you're doing. But that's not financial planning. All the stuff we do for our clients, that's a piece of it, but it has little to do with the real sophisticated approach,
exactly.
the synchronized approach to what financial planning is. So hopefully we're sharing some of that ideas to the listeners. And also we're doing that, Tad's off on a conference this weekend.
Yeah, he's doing something at the Expo Center for baby boomers and their pre-entry into retirement.
Pre-entry into retirement.
Yep. So there's a lot of exhibits on, which beaches you should go and visit, what vacation packages you should consider.
Oh, I see.
And, we looked around and there was no one talking about the importance of financial planning. Mm. So, again, we had Tad that jumped in there and said, look, this is a great opportunity here. Now you're getting to retirement. You have to make some big life standing decisions. What do I do with my, previous employer's information? What do I do with my personal items? Is it enough? And so he found that opportunity and said, well, let's go see what we have in store.
Well, that's good. I'm glad he's doing that. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a famous estate and some of the confusion in that estate. We're going to talk about using HSAs to their extreme, which is very positive. We're going to talk about leasing a car and what you have to learn. There's so many new rules about that. A lot of surprises. I mean, if you have a scuffed tire, what does that mean? And so on and so forth. So when we come back, we'd love for you to join us. You can call us at 614-821-9886 or 800-610-WTVN. You're listening to Managing to Be Wealthy on News Radio 610 WTVN. Welcome back to Managing to Be Wealthy. I'm John Sestina, and with me tonight, Tony Payne, Craig Konstantinovich. Good evening, guys.
Evening, John.
Well, we're talking about a lot of things, and what we want to start off with here is something that I know Tony is very unexcited about, and that's an estate planning situation that happened with a very famous singer. Most of you will know who James Brown is. I mean, he truly was an icon.
Absolutely.
He made an incredible difference. Of course, he's more my generation than yours, Craig. But nonetheless, he was an incredible guy. He had an incredible career, and he did a lot of things. And he had an incredible charitable bent. And that's what's so interesting in this estate plan. So what did we find out here, Tony or Craig?
Well, the first thing, like you were just saying, his charitable bent there, he wanted to fund scholarships for impoverished youth in South Carolina and Georgia. So he wanted to use all of his assets. He was leaving $2 million to fund his grandchildren's college, and everything after that was going into the scholarship fund. So that was the first thing. The right. next part of this was he was married, he had children, but he had done estate planning. He had laid out his will, he had laid out trust, he had had a prenuptial agreement signed. He did everything we would think that you should do.
Well, he must have done it right then, Tony.
Well, John, he didn't. Everything except he didn't know when he had enough.
Mm.
Because if he knew when he had enough, he could target giving during his lifetime. And we know it's very nice to be able to leave an estate and leave to these charitable goals. But what we've coached a lot of clients through is when you know you have enough, target your giving during your lifetime and involve your children in your giving.
Absolutely.
Because those six adult children, there's certainly emotions involved and finances, all sorts of things. So there could be ways to tie them in with the giving, with that sort of fund, that you could have accomplished all these goals and used your voice. And I think we know, and we've read through this article, he was a very strong-willed person. So for him to have sat down and told people, here's what I want, here's how we're going to do it, it may have been a lot more productive than leaving it to all these documents that now there are 90 lawyers involved. That's not cheap.
When did he die, Tony? What was the year, Craig or Tony?
Oh, 2006, John. 11
2006.
Years
so 11. And this is the thing that people don't, you know, the hardest thing for people to do is deal with their mortality.
Yes.
And part of the mortality is you've got to stop and look at your family.
Right.
And what are your motivations with your family? Now, I've seen some folks who've gone to the extreme. I can think of, you know, people go to the extreme of literally writing a book to their family,
yep.
to the family members. And others, you know, they don't do anything, and that causes a problem. Here, James Brown did something in between. But it's important for you, and we've seen this, that, for example, the folks who will do the in-depth of a book, they're sharing their values with
right.
their children. And, you know, it's interesting. If you're part of a family, you realize that in today's environment, families aren't families like they were in the 50s. And so they're not sharing. They're not together all the time. They're not talking about what's important to the whole.
Yes.
So as a result, you know, the children and the parents may be disconnected. They still love each other. I'm not saying that. They still get together at Christmas and holidays, etc. But what I'm saying is they are not connected into the root of what has made the parents who they are.
Right. And that's huge because it's, John, like you said, there's different ways to go about actually talking about that. I think of my family alone. I mean, my grandmother's wishes, what she wants to have happen now that she's, you know, in her mid-90s at this point, a little bit more, I guess it hits closer to home at that point because that time could be at any given moment. Versus my mom and her estate plan with myself and my two younger brothers, again, that's kind of further out there. If something were to happen, it could be a freak accident or something, but we still have an idea of what her morals are. And then versus my estate plan, which is pretty much, you know, my wife gets this, my wife gets that, and then maybe a few things I give to my mom and my brothers. But for the most part, it's pretty much cut and dry as far as things are concerned.
Right. And so the first key here is it is important for you to share with other family members
yep.
your desires, your values. You know, whether you've amassed a great amount of money or a little amount of money, your values are the most important thing you're passing on to these people, not the money.
Exactly.
Not the house.
Well said, John. That's it.
And so what happened with James Brown? He also had a charitable foundation, didn't he, Tony?
He did, but it wasn't as well funded as his personal estate.
Right. So, in fact, it was not funded at all because of the estate plan he had in place. So how did this get messed up? I mean, if the guy had all the documents, and that's what people think, well, I've got a will, I've got a trust, I'm done. You're not done. That's where the financial planning piece comes into play in discussing and reviewing in particular.
Yes.
Where are you? I mean, I looked at an irrevocable trust today. Yes, I work on Sundays. I was looking at an irrevocable trust that was done in 2007. So that's only, what, 20, 30 years old?
Yep.
Okay. Hasn't been looked at it since. And so the people don't know what's happening and what they can do or not do, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
Same thing is true of wills.
Yeah.
People can't lay their hands on their wills or their trust. they can't find their powers of attorney for health care or their powers of financial powers of attorney, etc. So part of your estate plan, and I know James Brown was busy and he was running around the world doing his concerts, writing songs and all that other stuff. But remember, it's your money and no one cares more about your money than you do. You have to be involved in the process.
Absolutely.
That's why you can't go to one of these robo advisors and input these numbers and here comes a, you know, here's your plan, because that's not the plan.
Right.
I mean, your plan changes the next hour.
And that's where I've seen it more times working with John, you and Tony. A lot of times there are a lot of financial planning nuggets that we take away from working with someone that isn't based on our process or, you know, this latest and greatest financial planning tool. It's just having casual conversations with people and figuring out, well, here's a goal that maybe you guys never knew about.
Mm-hmm.
And now we need to recraft the plan knowing that, okay, this goal is of more importance and is of a higher priority than what we previously talked about. Now we need to reevaluate things. And instead of doing A, we need to do B. And that's the beauty of what we do here.
Exactly right. And again, with James Brown, as we say, he had all the documents. He even had a prenup.
Yeah.
With his wife. And they had a child together.
Mm-hmm.
So, but with the prenup. But what happened with the prenup, Tony?
Well, I laughed there in the middle because you asked what went wrong, and I'm laughing because I know the government got involved.
Oh yes, well then everything's fine.
Right. Well, no, he had all of these documents done, and when they challenged, the state court said, you're right, family, we'll give you half basically of everything, and the trust will get the other half. And I would think, thankfully, the Supreme Court in South Carolina stepped in and said, no, that's not what his wishes were. He purposely disinherited these children, this spouse. He left money for his grandchildren, but his goal was to help these impoverished children. So now that's part of why it's all tied up and there's 90 lawyers and all this involved, where he could have given a lot of that money during his lifetime, perhaps saved some of this heartache.
Well, and the other point was he had a provision in his documents, which is pretty normal, that if something is contested, you are automatically disinherited.
Yeah.
Why didn't that hold up?
That's one of the things that the lawyers came in and attacked.
I see.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They said, oh, you know, he wasn't of a sound mind, or it wasn't his original intention to have that included there. He was provoked into including that provision.
And one of the things we know is with that provision, you kind of have to include some bait. I mean, if you're going to say, if you challenge this, you get nothing, you have to leave them something.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, to say, well, challenge this and get nothing, well, they weren't getting anything in the first place, it seemed like.
Well, we'll pick up on this after the break. We have to take another break right now, but we'd love for you to join us. You can always call us at 821-9886. You're listening to Managing to Be Wealthy on News Radio 610 WTVN. There goes the cash register.
Oh,
hopefully
yeah.
You're putting some coins in people's pockets, or at least getting them to think about keeping their coins in their pockets and in their family's pockets. Welcome back. I'm John Sestina. This is Managing to Be Wealthy. With me tonight, Tony Payne, Craig Konstantinovich. And at this time, we're talking about James Brown and his estate plan. When did he die again, Tony?
2006.
2006. 11 years ago. And was it finally finished this year? Was that the deal?
Still not officially finished.
It's still officially open. So this is the consequence of having unclear. I mean, he had all the documents. He thought he had everything in place.
This is far better than when we went through and talked about Prince's estate.
Oh, yes.
If we remember way back when where there was no documents, nothing formalized in
right.
place. At least this outlined the wishes. And you see, it doesn't matter. It's still getting delayed. It's still ongoing at this point for, again, families that aren't on the same page.
Right. So again, what are some of the solutions here? Solution number one is do get all the documents.
Yes.
Make sure you have a will. If you need a trust, get that done. If you want a charity and you want to set up a charitable trust, get that done. Make sure you have the powers of attorney for health care, for financial care, and any other special things you might have. You may need a special needs trust.
Yes.
For a child who's going to be needing some help along the way after you're gone. So there's lots of that. So do get the documents. And when you do, if you have a larger estate, what's a larger estate? Who knows? But if you do have a larger estate, you want to be sure to have someone who is competent in the area of estate planning.
Right.
Now, we especially like this case to talk about because we're not talking about taxes.
Right.
And we know there's a possibility, I won't hold my breath,
exactly.
But there's a possibility in the new tax proposal they're going to eliminate the estate taxes. Because think about it. You earn the money, pay 50% in taxes. You die, you pay another 50% of taxes. It's the most unfair thing in the world. Plus, it was temporary.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was there just to fund one of the wars. That was it. So we know it should be gone a long time ago. But this one has nothing to do with taxes. It has all to do with planning.
Right.
So once you get the documents and you have competent advisors, like a competent estate planning attorney, and hopefully a competent financial planner, you're going to sit down on a regular basis and review the documents. How often do we review documents with clients, Craig?
We sit down there and go through the estate planning documents at least once a year with clients.
Once a year. And we do that because you'd say, well, golly, nothing's going to change in a year. You would be surprised. I mean, we've seen all kinds of circumstances where, you know, this year the daughter-in-law is, Tony, I think you had a client where the daughter-in-law was loved and the trust was set up. And then all of a sudden the daughter-in-law fell out of favor and a lot of changes had to be made there just in 1 year. Am I correct? Was that one of yours?
Right. Yeah, it was that. And then on top of that, recently there was a divorce involved as well. So, I mean, I guess some clients are, I mean, make sure you send those relatives Christmas cards, guys. You never know who's updating their estate plan and when or why.
Exactly. So you get all your documents, you've got that all in place, and now you have to review it with these advisors that I've talked about. And we review it every year. You may not need to review it every year. We just like to be thorough. But you ought to be reviewing it every few years and as changes are necessary. Because as the laws change and family circumstances change, you may need to make changes in your documents. Bobby and I are going to have to make a change in ours, you know, which we had very good documents just a few years ago. Now things are different, so we have to make a change in the documents. So you're going to want to be able to do that. Now, once you have that all in place, if you have a significant, well, even if it's not significant, it's valuable for you to share with your family, your children in particular, your spouse, whatever the case may be, and discuss this with them.
Mm-hmm.
If there's going to be fireworks, let it happen while you're there to control the fireworks. Don't let it happen after you die. We've seen some circumstances where, you know, the family blows up after a death because there were all these surprises. Surprises are the worst thing in the world when you're dealing with death and money,
well,
quite frankly.
Yeah, because think about it. You have all the emotional aspect of losing someone, and then you have some unbeknownst financial situation, whether good or bad, and all of a sudden you're put into a situation where you can't ask that person what their wishes are or how they would like to approach this. Instead, you're trying to interpret through their lifetime what they had done, what you think is best, and if you add anyone else to the mixture, whether it's, you know, a former spouse, which we've seen at times, children, grandchildren, when you start seeing people with their hands out expecting something in return, all of a sudden you see the worst sides of people more times than not, and that creates more conflicts and more issues.
That's so true.
Well,
go ahead, Tony.
The part that comes along with that are, I guess I can't help but say, the enablers, and I would call in this case those 90 outside attorneys and probably countless others who are going to profit, who have a profit motive to incentivize, hey, you could get more out of this. You could get more out of this. So you always have to keep that in mind, and that's another reason to do that discussion while you're alive, while you can control it, because you can't imagine who's going to come out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And if you have a very small estate, but you have some things that are important to you, I've known people to label them.
Yes.
You know, they take a little sticker and they put it on the bottom of the Hummel that they've collected, or the special vase, or the whatever it is, the pearl necklace. And they put these things and they say, you know, the pink ones are for my daughter and the blue ones are for my son. And so that at least if you're there and you don't have any special documents, you haven't really discussed it, hopefully when you're gone, they'll adhere to this code and they won't be fighting with each other. But quite frankly, we've seen often that doesn't help either.
Right. So yes, there's a lot of situations. Again, the more that you can converse, the more that you can talk about what those wishes are, a lot of times the less headaches that are going to be incorporated with this. And that's, you know, even for our clients that are working with us now, a lot of times if, you know, they say their parents are getting up there in age, or maybe there's something going on with their brothers, sisters, other family members, we'll turn around and say, well, do you know if you have any responsibilities for their estate? Whether it is being the person that makes medical decisions on their behalf, or if you're going to be carrying out their last wishes. We always ask that because, again, if you don't ask the questions of those people, you're never going to know. And again, we want to create as few surprises as possible when you're coming into this situation where, again, the emotions tend to overwhelm you with the actual financial savviness to make the right decision.
Well, and one of the surprises that I think if some of our listeners will find is with adult children who are still in college.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't give you the power of attorney for healthcare and they have an accident, they go into the hospital, you're going to have trouble getting information.
Oh, yeah.
I know it doesn't make any logical sense, but with HIPAA and all the other things, hospitals trying to protect themselves, et cetera, regulations, you need to be sure that your adult children, because they're no longer minors, they're no longer automatically under your care, that you have the power of attorney for healthcare, that you could make some decisions and get in there, and even maybe the financial one, if they have any money at all,
right,
that you can help them manage.
And that's a big one, too, because even if you have someone that automatically enlists in the Army, the Navy, the Marines, my brother, for example, one of the first things that he had to do when he got to basic training was sign off on his power of attorney for healthcare and financial power of attorney.
There you go.
Because as soon as he's out of the U.S., he may need to have someone sign a form for him to complete his taxes.
You got it.
Something as simple as that. If you don't have someone to sign off and get that all filed for you, I mean, you're sitting between a rock and a hard place at that point.
Well, this is one of the many, many issues in financial planning. That's why we wanted to talk about it. But, you know, we also have a regular workshop, I guess we call it.
Yeah.
And we have another one coming up in November.
Yep. The first three Thursdays of November at the Hub that's over on Kenny Road, we'll be having the workshops. Again, Tad Harrington's going to be the primary host there. And between Steven, John, I hear you may be even making a guest appearance.
I think I'm going to make an appearance and scare all the people.
There we go. And then Tony typically blesses us with his presence there as well. So we get all the hats under one roof there and make sure that people have a good understanding of, again, financial planning. Let's educate. And unfortunately, there's no steak dinners. There's no ice cream. Nothing like that to bring in. We want to educate people. So
all
that way
we serve
aware.
Is knowledge.
Exactly.
It's all we're serving. Well, it's time for another break. We hope you'll come back after the break and give us a call even. You're listening to Managing to Be Wealthy on News Radio 610 WTVN. Welcome back to Managing to Be Wealthy. I'm John Sestina. With me tonight, Craig Konstantinovich, Tony Payne, both certified financial planners. Well, guys, we beat up on the estate planning and the non-tax issues, which is really, really more important than the tax issues.
Yep.
Because the tax issues can be mechanical. But now we want to move on to a new topic. I don't think there's any way we can get through all of this tonight, Craig and Tony. I mean,
right.
No matter how fast you talk, Tony, we're not going to cover all this HSA stuff.
I'll speed it up.
All right. Don't do that. We want the folks to learn. So, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the health care and Obamacare and all that nonsense. But one of the things that's kind of popped its head up as a result of all of this is the HSAs, health savings accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And people are beginning to realize this is a much bigger tool than they first thought it was.
Yeah. Yeah. This is one of those tools where, you know, people have come to me in particular at this point, and especially young folks, and they say, look, I could make the maximum contribution to my 401k or I can make the maximum contribution to my HSA. Which one should I choose? And I've hands down said, maximize the contribution to your HSA now, because when you make that contribution, you're getting a three tax advantage. You get tax-free deposits into the account or contributions. You get tax-free growth on the funds. And when the money's pulled out for qualifying medical expenses, it's a tax-free withdrawal.
Yeah, but when I retire, my 401k is going to give me retirement income, Craig.
It's going to give you retirement income, but the HSA, once you reach age 65, you can pull that money out, not pay a penalty, but have it be taxed as regular ordinary income.
Great.
So it's a great tool here. that we've, again, John, like you said, it started to, you know, peer its head into the financial planning world, and, you know, it's becoming a whole new beast and a whole new tool that, especially for young clients, it's a home run.
It definitely is. And we're finding that they're increasing the amount you can put into the HSAs,
mm-hmm.
and they're different from a
FSA or a flexible spending account.
Yeah, a flexible spending account, because that's a use it or lose it.
Correct.
Flexible spending account. Whereas the health savings account, if you don't use it, it just grows.
Exactly.
It accumulates. And you could even choose investments. Most of these have mutual fund choices
mm-hmm.
that you can make. You can allocate, make sure you're allocated appropriately. And as a result, this can grow like your IRA does.
Yeah.
So if you had a deductible IRA or this, they're both, I'm going to say the same.
Yeah.
Tony?
And unlike the IRA, though, there's no minimum distribution requirement with this HSA tool.
Right.
Health savings account. So they don't make you take money out.
That's right. So when I'm 59 and a half, I'm well past that. But when you guys are 59 and a half, prior to that, if you take it out, you have to pay a penalty. After 59 and a half, you can take it out without penalty. But this, there's no penalty. And when you're 70 and a half, you must begin to withdraw your money from the IRA or the 401k. Whereas with the HSA, don't have to do it, Craig.
Right. No, it's fantastic in that approach too. But again, the biggest caveat when we're looking at this, it's a great tool, but it's just simply that. It's a tool. When you're going through and evaluating it, and I know we talked on last week's show about this, the most important thing is to make sure that your health plan, if it is HSA eligible, that you're taking advantage of it. But if your health care needs are vastly different to where this plan doesn't make the most sense for you, then you need to look at something else where you get the coverage that you need. So again, it's more focused on here's a tool if it fits, but again, the number one priority is to make sure that you have any of your health needs covered with your health insurance.
Exactly. And in financial planning, that's the tools are you have a little toolbox and it's full of all these various tools. I mean, it's business, it's IRAs, it's insurance, it's all kinds of things. And the use of those tools by a skilled craftsman, just like a skilled craftsman in fixing your house, building your house, fixing your car, whatever the case may be, can make all the difference in the world. So it's not enough to say, I know about whatever, an IRA, and go chase it. What you have to do is synchronize it, coordinate it, make sure it fits where you're going, as you said, Craig. What about that, Tony?
When you, John, I'm smiling yet again. You're getting us thinking about the holistic nature of planning, because this is where you asked weeks ago about our why. Each of us are individually, and mine was partly be the shepherd, help guide people to the right spot. And this HSA tool, there really isn't a way for the market yet to sell it to people, for people to make money by recommending it. So it seems to be overlooked for that very simple, terrible reason. So for us to be up here on the show and telling people about it, it's a great feeling, John.
It is a great feeling, and hopefully this will help a lot of people. But again, look at it as it relates to where you are, what your plan is, what your medical needs are, whether or not you have a medical plan that will qualify, and so forth. But just don't jump out and try to buy something, get frustrated by it.
Yeah, the other piece to this, too, is not all HSA plans are created equally.
No kidding. Really?
Oh, yeah. Yep. So when you're looking at a different HSA option, whether it's with a local bank, with a different institution, make sure that you understand what the expenses are for having the HSA. If there are investments, is there a minimum amount that you have to keep in cash to where then anything after that you could invest it? What kind of mutual funds are included within that? Make sure that they're low expense, hopefully no load mutual fund options. But there's all sorts of different fees, other caveats that could be included depending on which HSA plan you're looking at.
That's really important, because so often when you're out and about talking to people and they'll tell you, I have an IRA. And I say, okay. And they say, yeah, it's with a bank. I have a bank. In other words, they think that the IRA is a bank plan.
Yep.
Not that they have options to set up an IRA independent of any institution. It doesn't have to be an annuity insurance product, doesn't have to be a stock mutual fund product, doesn't have to be a bank product. So the tool is the IRA. Here, the tool is the HSA, and recognize what you do within the tool is more important than just having the tool available.
Exactly.
So be very, very careful about that. Be very aware. Oops, I hear the music going. Well, you know, we didn't get to it all. We'll pick up on this again next week. But if you didn't have a chance to give us a call or you really wanted some personal attention, please feel free to call our office on Bethel Road, 614-326-3077. Thank you.
Yep.
And schedule a time with one of our financial planners. We will ask you to complete a questionnaire in advance of that meeting so it can be productive. If you just come there and don't have anything prepared, you're going to be a little embarrassed as we ask questions. And we're going to be embarrassed because we really can't give you straightforward advice. So take the time to fill out as much as you can. No one does it all. But fill out what you can because that makes for a far more productive meeting. And, of course, it's complimentary. You're not going to get a bill. So we'd love to see you at our offices on Bethel Road, 1161 Bethel Road. In the meantime, we want to thank you for listening. I'm John Sestina. This is Managing to Be Wealthy. And you're listening to News Radio 610 WTVN.